I can tell you I have no financial connections to any of the research here. And I also want to recognize Dr. Diane McNaughton, my co-investigator on this study. We have all of those co-investigators listed here. The study was funded by NINR. Mexican-American youth experience depression symptoms at rates much higher than those experienced by any other ethnic group in the U.S. While CDC estimates the prevalence of depression symptoms in all youth about 10%, rates for Latino youth are much higher and range between 31 and 47%. 38% of the students participating in our study expressed suicidal ideation. Among women, NIMH reports a 10% prevalence rate among the U.S. population, with rates among Latino women as high as 64%. Classical clinical trials focus on no treatment for control groups, or at least usual care. Thus, many do not report referral rates when they're collecting depression symptoms. Now, given the community partnerships that we have in research, the idea of no referral hints of unethical practice. The purpose of my report today is really to focus on our referral practices in our study. Because we did refer our participants for diagnostic follow-up, the purpose of the report is actually to examine the impact of those referrals on the outcome changes that we were targeting in our study. The outcomes were mother and child depression symptoms, family problem solving, child health conceptions, and their school behaviors. Further, we'll discuss ethical implications related to the decision to refer and to follow up on referrals. MAPS, the Mexican American Problem Solving Program, was a clinical trial resulting from a partnership with selected Chicago public schools, community professionals, Mexican immigrant women, and their children, and it was designed to enhance family problem solving, ultimately to improve mental health symptoms of the mothers and children, as well as the children's school behavior. Six waves of participants from schools were randomly assigned either to treatment or control and participated in data collection at baseline and 20 and 60 weeks after baseline, with the intervention delivered between baseline and 20 weeks. Data collectors were school social workers and graduate students and were blinded to the treatment. Mental health survey responses were scored immediately after data collection, and those scores that were at the cut point for referral on the depression scales were reported to the investigators on the same day. The intervention delivered to the treatment group was delivered to the treatment group by nurses, and it consisted in practice and problem solving using a simple approach: stop, think, and act. We focused on problems that were relevant to the participants and often focused on current problems. Published recommendations for cut points were used for the mothers and children. We also had a toll-free number that was made available to all of the participants at every data collection, and also if they got a phone call for referral. To assure cultural competence, we had a bilingual bicultural project assistant, a departmental secretary, data collectors, and bilingual interventionists. We drew on school nurses' expertise to identify reliable mental health providers in the study communities, as well as the school social workers and selected school coordinators. Our approved protocol for the study was to provide referral for any mother or child who scored at the cut points for depression. Once wave two began, and we had 50 mother-child dyads in each wave, once wave two began, we realized that the significance of the rate of referral might impact the outcome, so we designed a protocol for referral follow-up. The project assistant called referred participants before subsequent data collections to identify if, in fact, they had followed through on the referral. During the call, the project assistant with a script introduced herself and our interest in the participants' help, as well as the interest of the school staff who were our research partners. The project assistant coded a follow-up, either yes or no. There were 302 mother and child dyads in the study, with 143 in the treatment and 159 dyads in the control. We had 83% of our participants, participating dyads, were retained through to 60 weeks post date baseline assessment. There's a lot of conversation about retention of minority participants in research, and I think an 83% retention rate was pretty thrilling for us. This slide lists the measures that we used for the study, and what I'd like for you to know is that our depression screening, family problem solving, and health conceptions were all self-report assessments made through those measures. School behaviors were collected from school report cards. We did have parents sign permission to gather that data from the school. We used descriptive statistics and ANOVA to analyze the data. I wanted to give you just a little summary of the clinical trial effectiveness analysis. The MAPS outcomes were, to summarize the MAPS outcomes, there were direct, statistically significant treatment effects on the children's health conceptions and on their schoolwork. There were significant three-way effects, that is, treatment and neighborhood effects, on the child depression and family communication. While mothers' depression scores improved across both treatment and control, there was no treatment effect on those improvements. Likewise, the suicide ideation scores and self-esteem did not improve significantly among the children. So these are the results of this analysis. The rate of referral and follow-up for mothers and children is presented on this slide, showing that in the treatment condition, 38% of mothers, that's 55 mothers, were referred, and among those referred, 57% of them completed the follow-up compared to their peers in the control. In the control, 33%, that's 53 mothers, were referred, and only 29% followed up. For the children in the treatment, 42% were referred, and 19% had follow-up among the treatment children. Um, and compared to 40% of their peers in the control group, with only 10% of the control children having the referral follow-up. The analysis of variance showed that the referral completion had no significant effect on the family problem-solving communication. Child depression, health conceptions, or the children's schoolwork reported on the report card. Not surprisingly, however, completed referrals did have a statistically significant effect on the maternal depression scores. We considered the differences in completion rates for children compared to their mothers. And several explanations have emerged for us. First of all, we used a clinical cut point for children based on reports of high depression rates among Latino children compared to other ethnic groups. Yet, had we used a community cut point, only 9% of the children would have been referred. Another explanation could be related to the historical finding that parents rate depression symptoms at a much lower rate for their children than children actually do in their own self-report. In this study, mothers may not have perceived their child's depression, their symptoms, to reflect depression. While mothers in the intervention were twice as likely to complete referrals, still 29% of the mothers in the control group followed through on the referrals. Please note that the focus of the intervention was on problem solving, stop, think, and act, on issues that were relevant to them. However, the question emerges, is the referral completion an indicator of problem solving? The analysis revealed that referral completion did have a statistically significant impact on improvements in mothers' depression scores, which could have limited the impact of the intervention on depression. So we had no statistically significant differences in the rates of improvement, even though they improved across both conditions. The MAPS study was formulated at its inception as a partnership with the participants. With that in mind, the referral protocol were reviewed by school partners. The protocol were also approved by the RUSH IRB. Using a clinical cut point for children probably produced significant false positives, so the parents' perceptions of the seriousness of their children's symptoms was probably closer to the appropriate referral level for community settings. For example, if we look just at the treatment group alone, using the clinical cut point, we referred 60 children. Had we used the community cut point, we would have referred 13 children. In fact, 11 of our referred children did have completed referrals. In terms of researchers' efforts to assure referral completion, one can look at the standard of care in school health. Referrals are often made as a result of screening programs, but public health policy in those settings often only requires referral, focusing on the parental responsibility. When considering depression symptoms, I would posit the question, should that same policy be the standard of care? From the research perspective, referral completion did have a significant effect on the outcomes for mothers, showing the intervention was not powerful enough to overcome completion of the referrals. In terms of the child outcomes, again, there were no effects from the referral completion. There's a movement across the United States to screen for mental health symptoms in schools. These data suggest that there's no effect of screening on the child outcomes, so the idea of improving children's mental health symptoms by means of screening and providing parents with a clear picture of their child's symptoms so that they might take action is really not supported in a population of 302 dyads. We must, however, be serious about the obligation to refer when we have symptoms that require a clear diagnostic workup, and then to support parents in the follow-up efforts. Thank you so much.